All right, up to test. I'm going to be. Brand new Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Oisus sukkasay tachas ilan." If a person makes his sukkah under a tree, kilu asa'a b'soich habayis. It's like he made it under or within a house. Okay, what happens if a person makes it in his house? The Mishnah doesn't say. The Mishnah just goes on to talk about a sukkah, agave sukkah, sukkah tam another sukkah. So right away you say to yourself, what in the world is going on over here? There are two possibilities, right? Either what the Mishnah really means is that if a person makes a sukkah under a tree, it's no good. And the way that the Mishnah chooses to express that is it's as if he made it in a house, which everybody knows is no good. And then you have to ask yourself, well then, why don't you just say it's no good? So apparently you're trying to tell me two chidushim, right? You're trying to tell me that because in the house is also no good, right? The reason you're telling me that it's no good by saying it's like you made it in the house is by saying because I want you to know that in the house is no good. But if it's obvious that in the house is no good, then you're not saying a chidush. So what's your point? So does anybody have like an answer to that?
No.
You're speaking for everyone, right? So the Gemara does have an answer for that. I don't know if you noticed it. The Gemara has an answer for that. When you read this Mishnah, you say to yourself, this is really bizarre. Because it's not a Chiddush, and if it is a Chiddush, let's say it is a Chiddush. Let's say that we're not sure. It could be the sukkah inside a house maybe is good. Well then, what's the Mishnah telling me? If you make your sukkah under a tree, let's say you can make it in the house, which is good.
More shade.
So the Mishnah obviously is saying that it's no good. But the question is, well then, why did you just say psula? Why do you have to say it's like you made it in a house? So there's something about that point. There's a reason why the Mishnah is saying it's puzzle because it's like in a house. We'll have to flesh it out in the Gemara. But right away you read this line in the Mishnah, you can't let that slide. Right? You can't let that slide. You know what I mean by you can't let that slide?
Yeah.
Yeah? You know, I was listening again to that share this morning, I was telling you that. And he just made the point. Let's think about this for a minute. And he started like going over the question, like what was bothering him, like at length. And at some point he stopped himself and he says to the audience, why am I spending so much time developing this question with you? And he said, you know why? And in my own words, because we see so many chazals that bother us. But we don't let it bother us. We don't let it bother us for a number of different reasons. Sometimes because as kids we were told, you know, you're not allowed to ask questions on chazals or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, so we just don't ask the good questions. Or because, well, whatever, there's no real answer anyway, you know, like a million different approaches. Like, what's the point in asking the question if there are a million answers, you know? There are all these things that bother people that prevent us from asking the questions we should be asking. So, like, don't be afraid. Sometimes we don't know the answer. And sometimes it may be multiple possibilities. But don't allow the possibility of many answers take you away from asking a good question. Because some of the answers may not be convincing, and maybe one of those answers will be convincing to you. Or maybe none of them will be convincing to you, but you have a good question, and that's also okay. But later on, maybe you'll find another answer. But don't let it stop you from saying there's something that's off here. And let it bother you. And hopefully we'll come to a resolution. But even if not, you can't just be one of these like laissez-faire guys just like, you know, yeah, whatever, you know, just wanna rack it up to the millions of questions I've got on like all these chazals. It's a great maisa. You know, in the car we're always looking for things to do with the kinderlach, you know? So stories are the best, but most of the stories that you'll get on like MP3s or whatever, you know, that are Jewish stories for kids, are not so good. It's usually people making these like really bad voices and like dumb noises. You know? So we got one that was really good, and he has this whole story about, I think it was like a bunch of OU mashgichim, and there's something called the grape crush. You guys ever heard of the grape crush? So when they're harvesting all the grapes and they're crushing all the grapes, so the mashgichim have to be there to make sure that there's no issues of like stavinum, yeah, nesach, like whatever the issues may be with the wine. So apparently it comes out seasonally, I guess like about a month ago or something like that, I guess typically. Does that make sense? So the whole story is about these bashkichim, and they get together or whatever it is, and then they end up getting a Sefer Torah from some community nearby, and it was like a Reform temple or something like that. And they had a Sefer Torah from, you know, the Holocaust, from Prague. And there's a whole story about how where he ends up with a Sefer Torah, and like then the Holocaust survivor ends up actually getting an aliyah to the Sefer Torah that was his, he was from Prague, and that was like his bar mitzvah, that's the Sefer he had leaned from. It was like a very inspirational story. But he ends up meeting up, the guy calls up the shul to find out if they have a Sefer Torah. When he got the one from Prague, he calls up the shul. He says, you know, I want to know if I can, we can borrow a Sefer Torah. So he says, well, you have to call up the president, you know, and he's the one to make all these decisions. Okay. So he calls up the president, who's like some doctor, like the head doctor of some hospital or something like that. And he's like this very, like, well-educated fellow and, like, has, like, an English accent, because apparently all well-educated fellows have English accents in stories anyway. So he asks him about this. He says, yeah, sure, no problem. I just want to meet with you. I have some questions on Judaism I'd like to ask you. And so all these mashgichim got together in this guy's office. He started just like, he had a notebook. He actually had a notebook of all the questions that he's just been wondering about for the last, I don't know, 40 years. But he never really had access to anyone that could really answer the questions or never had satisfactory answers or whatever. And he sat down and he just asked him all this. So they had a few sessions like that. And they asked the guy, well, you know, you want to meet with us? And, you know, come here, stay for Torah. We lane it Monday, Thursday to come on Tefillin. He's like, yeah, sure, just blend it. You know, so he drove, like, the guy was like an hour and a half or something like that. It was a great crush to, like, put on Tefillin, and it was interesting. But the point is, I hear the guy that, at the end of the day, he had his questions, and they bothered him. So he wrote it down. And when he had an opportunity, so, you know, he got them answered little by little. So this is our mission. There's a big question here. What is it, why does it have to say it's like you made it in the bias? Okay, but in any case, that's how the mission begins. And then it says a person that makes sukkah al gabe sukkah on top of another sukkah, el yoina kshera, the upper one is kasher, but tachtoina psula, but the one that's on the bottom is pasul. And the Mishnah seems to say that definitively, like it's no difference, doesn't make a difference what the case is. We'll see that that's not really true la halacha, but that's how the Mishnah presents it. It means yer mel yoina, if there's no people living, yer, people that are living in the upper one, then the one in the bottom is kosher. Meaning, in addition or only? So it probably depends on what he means by that. He means if it's not possible for anyone to live in the upper one, like who really cares if there's anybody living in the upper one? It creates a problem because the schach is too strong? Because people could live in it? And they actually have to be living in it? Is it because it's like making it in a house because there is actually a house on top? But it's a sukkah. So what exactly is the problem? So that we didn't cover on our amud, so we'll have to wait to come back to that particular issue. The Gemara says, "Amar Rabba, Leishanu." The Mishnah only teaches this; it does not teach this Ella, right? That's a double negative. So it doesn't only teaches this Ilan. When you have a tree whose shade is more than its sunlight, but if the sunlight is more than the shade it's creating, so then ksheru, then it's kasher. So when I first read this line, I had a little bit of trouble trying to figure out what exactly is the case. What do you mean if the tree is giving more shade than sun? What does that mean to you?
Long branches.
Directly over the sukkah?
Sure.
Anywhere? Like the tree doesn't exist if like it's falling apart? There are a lot of trees in Muncie that are dying, you know? They don't have any leaves growing. Just a tree and a bunch of branches, and the branches slowly fall off one by one. It looks like a big stick sticking out. So, what do you? So you have to say we're talking about the shade that it's creating inside the sukkah, right?
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about. So how much shade? So, I guess you know. Imagine that my hand is like the tree. So you could have, let's say, just my fingers hanging over the sukkah, and depending on how spread apart my fingers are, I guess you'll say there's more sunlight coming through than shade. But if it's my whole hand, including my palm, so that's hanging, you know, directly over the sukkah. So then there's, if you would sort of make a circle, basically, out of the area that the tree kind of covers, so that even though there's going to be space in between the branches, but if my palm, you know, is part of the tree, so there's going to be more shade coming than sun. So it sounds like we're trying to create we're like pinpointing a part of this tree and saying, okay, we're going to consider that tree to be schach, possible, to be problematic schach, as long as there's more shade that's coming from it than sun. But if there's more sunlight in that particular patch or that spot of that tree that's over the sukkah, so then we have to consider that to be a tree. You know, it exists, it's significant, or something like that. But what's the other way to look at it? Like, why am I saying all of this? At the end of the day, isn't it true that all we really care about is that there's more shade than sun in the sukkah? That's what we're after. In order for sukkah to be kosher, you have to have more shade than sunlight. Coming from what? Coming from your kosher schach. So you could have a myriad of scenarios where you have more shade than sun in your sukkah, but if you would eliminate the puzzle schach, then you'd have more sunlight than shade. So what's actually making your shade that you need in your sukkah is coming from schach puzzle, right? This is obvious, right? We're all clear on this? Should I say it again? So what we want in a sukkah is more shade than sun, but it has to be coming from legitimate schach. If it's coming from a schach that's puzzle, it's not legitimate, so then that's problematic. The monkey wrench in all of this is the Gemara never deals with what exactly is the case. What if I went ahead and I built my sukkah, I put my schach mat or whatever, that's kosher, on top of my sukkah. It happens to also be under a tree. But the tree is irrelevant to me, right? Because I have a kosher sukkah. I don't need the tree. If I did need the tree, and the tree is actually facilitating my shade, so then that would be a problem, right? You with me on what I just said? If the tree is finishing up my shade, then we got a big problem. But what if it's not? What if I got a kosher sukkah? So you might argue, well, it would have been good if you built your sukkah, and then maybe the tree grew after. You know, like Yonah. Like, maybe that would be good, because you had a kosher sukkah, and the tree kind of came later. But if the tree's already there, and then you build your sukkah, even though your sukkah's kosher, but maybe there's a problem with the tree. Why? What's the problem with the tree? You got kosher schach. What's the problem with the tree? So what would you say?
The tree itself is providing too much shade to begin with.
But I don't need it.
Maybe, I know you don't need the tree.
You hear the problem? You hear the issue? If I have a kosher sukkah without a tree, then who cares that there's a tree on top of my sukkah? It's not hurting anything, is it?
Well, it could be defeating the purpose of the sukkah, blocking you from the missile, like the shade or something.
Yeah, so what would it be doing?
The sukkah isn't acting.
Preventing from the missile, exactly.
Why? Because what's happening? What's the dynamic? How are you trying to, what is your suggestion? Because what's the tree doing?
It's blocking it.
So it could be that it's eliminating the schach that it's on top of. That's actually considered to be your schach, because at the end of the day, the shade that's coming into your sukkah is really because of those branches and not because of your schach. Now, that's a great point. Yeah?
Remember the case earlier with the two boundaries?
Perfect. That's exactly what I was going to say. So go ahead. Spell it out. What about Be'ashros Karnayim, right? We said if you build your sukkah in a valley and there are mountains on both sides. So, you know, the truth is your shade isn't coming. But what's the deal? What are you going to respond? You have a response?
Yeah.
So what are you going to respond?
The mountains aren't considered to be schach.
Mountains number one are not schach. And what's their position also?
Not on top.
They're really not on top. So that's probably the difference. And that's where Noah probably will get saved in all of this. That what he's saying is that if you have schach puzzle on top of your schach, then maybe it really does not because of the shade really so much, but really because it's like eliminating whatever it's on top. Perhaps maybe that's a problem, or maybe that's not a problem at all. Maybe we should go back to where we started. Maybe we're only talking about when the shade actually is facilitating the shade you need in your sukkah. So this is a very significant machlokas in the Rishonim. Those two approaches about whether you have a kosher sukkah, if that matters, is a very significant machlokas in the Rishonim. So I'm just going to, you know, throw it out there, just so you should be aware. When you read this Gemara, you know, it all seems like, oh, like so simple. At first, it's really not a simple Gemara. It's not simple in halacha and how all of this works out at the end of the day. So, of course, if you'll ask anyone, ask your local rabbinic authority, should I build my sukkah under a tree as long as I have enough schach kashers? And they tell you, no, don't do that. But just FYI, this is a very significant issue in the Rishon. So to keep things simple, so the Gemara is saying that there is a problem when there is schach pasul on top of your sukkah. We'll keep it simple, even if perhaps there's a kasher sukkah underneath it. It could very well be that that tree will wipe out whatever schach it's on top of. And that'll be a problem. Okay, so Rava made a claim. He claimed that when Mishnah says if you make your sukkah under a tree, it's no good. Rava says, not such a blanket statement. It depends. If that tree is such a significant branches, it's such a significant tree that it's generating more shade than sunlight from the part that's covering your sukkah. So again, we got a problem. It's more shade than sunlight. But if it's more sunlight coming from that tree than shade, then we can basically disregard it completely. That's Rava's claim. So what is the Gemara ask on Rava? We're asking Mimai. How do you translate Mimai? What's the question?
From what?
From where? From where do you get that? What? No offense, Rava, but you are an Amora. Right? You're an Amora. You're not a Tana. You don't get to make these decisions like that, just decide halacha like that, you know? You don't get to write your own Mishnayos. Where did you get that from? So the answer is, what do you mean? It's a Mishnah, Midat Katani. From the fact that the Mishnah teaches, Ki ilu asa b'soich habayis. That's what we asked the first. The first question asked the Mishnah, right? Why does it say if you make your sukkah under a tree, it's like making it in a house? Why does it say it's no good? Rava's answering the question. Rava's saying, why does the Mishnah allow me to miss me? Why do I need it to teach? If you make it under a tree, it's like making it under a house. Well, this nibzula, just let it teach that it's puzzle. Ella, rather, hakamash malan, it comes to teach us the ilan dumya device, that the tree that's problematic is only if it's like making it in a house. When is making your sukkah under a tree like making it in a house? Mabayas tilas and rumachamas. Just like in a house, the whole point of a house is to give you a shade. You want more shade coming in the sunlight. Elon, so too the tree that's problematic is tilas and rumachamas when the shade that's generated is more than the sunlight. Okay, so pause for 1 second. So when we go back to the question we asked originally, and we'll say, how come the Mishnah formulated itself like this? Why didn't we just say puzzle? If everyone knows that making it in the house is puzzle, just say puzzle. The answer is the Mishnah is trying to sneak in an important piece of information, according to Rav, that's where I got it from. The piece of information the Mishnah is trying to sneak in is that the only time that making a sukkah under a tree is problematic is when the tree that's over the sukkah is generating more shade than sunlight, just like us. That's what it was hinting at. So that's interesting. So then the Gemara asks on Rava. Okay, so according to you, Rava, as long as there's more sunlight than shade from the tree, you're good to go, right?
Right.
And when the sunlight is more than the shade, my havi, what do you have? Why is that okay? How come it starves schach pasul, v'hadei schach kasher? But you are mitzareif, you are joining schach pasul, schach that is invalid, behadei, together with schach kasher, schach that is kasher. So what's wrong with that? Well, if you need both of them to have enough shade, then you got a big problem. If you have enough schach kasher independently to have enough shade, you're fine. But if you require a schach pasul in addition to the schach kasher, then you've got a huge problem on your hands. So you can't just make a blanket statement and say, well, as long as there's more sun than shade, you're good to go. No, because if that shade is actually facilitating your sukkah and kasher, then actually that invalidates your sukkah. If it's facilitating enough shade in your sukkah, then it will invalidate your sukkah. Amar Papa Bishechavatam. Bishechavatam. The case is, says Rav Papa, when you... Chavatan. What's Chavatan exactly? So Rashi says, Hishpil anafa v'mata me'uravim imschach kasher. He lowered the branches beneath them and mixed them up with the schach kasher ve'inirin bo'in. You can't tell which ones are connected to the tree or the ground anymore and which ones are not. V'schach kasher rabba alav u'mevachla. And a schach kasher, I don't know how to say this in English as a verb, but it's more, it is the majority, and therefore is mevatal the schach pasul. The midaraisa komile batal beruva, because midaraisa everything is batal beruva. Okay, let's explain this. The case that Rav is talking about is when the tree is on top of your schach, right? But it's not even touching. You can imagine a case where it is touching, which we're going to discuss in the minute, where the Gemara is going to talk about vines and stuff that are connected to the ground, you could kind of just like stick on top of your sickle. It could be very pretty, you know, who knows? So, if it's on top of your schach kasher, and it's, well, ABCs, right? Schach that's connected to the ground is no good, correct? It has to be detached from the ground. That's what we have to remember. So if you went ahead and you took vines that are attached to the ground, and you put them on top of your sukkah, so that on top of your schach, so that's schach pasul. If, actually, you have a big problem. How do you get around it? Well, it depends. If most of the schach that you have on top of your sukkah is good schach, then what you could do is you can make a mixture out of it. You make a mixture out of it. Well, you take the vines and you mix it all up, so you can't tell anymore which are the vines and which are your regular schach. And by looking at it, it's just a big mix. Even though those vines are still connected to the ground, what you've done is you've created what's called a taroivus. What's a taroivus? Anybody know? Comes from the shortage of iron. A mixture, right. Ta'arev is a mixture. So we don't usually imagine that this should be able to apply to schach, but it applies to schach like anything else. When you've got cholent and a little milk falls in, that's a ta'arev, it's a mixture of milk and meat. When there's fresh meat that wasn't shechted properly, it gets mixed in with all of your other meat that was shechted properly. So that's a mixture. So what do you do with that? How do you deal with those scenarios? So everybody knows the concept of the batel b'shishim, right? That's, what does shishim mean? It has to be batel in 60. Why that number? The assumption is that's the bare minimum of taste. But generally speaking, once you have 60 parts of something and only one part of the other thing, you can't taste it. But the rule is, what happens if something tastes the same? Meat. This one, most of them were from a shechted cow meat, and this one was not a shechted cow. It's a shot cow. So then what? It all tastes the same. So the rule, the technical rule is, as Rashi just said, the technical rule is that you go in mixtures. Mixtures are defined by the majority component. Mixtures are defined by the majority component. So that means to say that in halacha, if you have two things that get mixed together, it's not called a mixture. What do you mean it's not called a mixture? Because it's defined based on the majority. It has to be one thing. It's a mixture. So we have to relate to it as something. You can't just always treat it like it's a suffix. It's chetzi chetzi. It's not. You don't relate to it that way. In halacha, the way halacha relates to it is you go by the majority. So let's say you have a dayanim. You have dayanim. Some are late. This is the same issue. You have dayanim and they vote. 2 out of 3 voted this way. 20 out of 23 voted this way. So that's not called, you know, like a hung jury. It's not like there are 3 that decide what. No, that was the decision of the court. What do you mean decision of the court? But they don't agree. You're going to go kill a guy based on that? Yeah. How dare you? No, that was the decision of, because it's a mixture, dayanim. That's not, what's the decision? One decision. Some relate that exactly. You go by the majority, right? That's what you go by, the majority. So in any case, so that's what Rashi is saying. Same thing applies by your schach, believe it or not. So you could have mostly kosher schach, a little bit of not kosher schach, as long as they're mixed together. Rashi says you can't tell anymore what's what. So then it gets defined by the majority component. Done. So that's called b'shechavaton, when you chavat, when you mix them, you lower them, and you mix them up together. So okay, so again, where are we? Let's go through Shavuot quickly again. So Rava says the only time when a sukkah is problematic under a tree is when the tree is more generating more shade. But if the tree doesn't have any more sun, you're good to go. Good to go? What are you talking about? It's still sach bustle, and it's going to eliminate, I'm assuming the pshat right now, it's going to eliminate your sach kashim that's underneath it. So how could you say that? And if you need it to give yourself enough shade, you got a serious problem. See, right, says your papa, it has to be, we're talking about a case where you mixed it up together. Since you mix it up together, then we don't care, because again, the tree itself is more sun-like than shade, so it's fine in and of itself. But still, it's going to be schach pasul. Yeah, okay, so we'll mix it up, and then we don't care about its existence anymore, because all of the schach is defined by the majority component. That's what we're holding in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Ibishachavatam, if that's the case, you mix them up together, Maila Memra. Well, then what's the chiddush? Everybody knows that's fine. So Gemara answers, no, there's a chiddush here. Mal the same. What is that? He said, I would have thought, Nigzor, Hechachavatam, Atechachavatam, that we don't allow a person to mix schach together because we're afraid there are going to be plenty of cases where the person does not mix them together. Let's think that through for a second. If I would tell you, you can go take vines and put it on top of your sukkah, and then, you know, you can use the vines for your schach, you'd be like, no, you can't. It's attached to the ground. That's schach basel. That actual pasul sukkah midaraisa. No good. So it's a no problem. Mix them up together. Okay, that works. That works. But wait a minute. Is that a good idea? Can you imagine, like, you take a look at people's sukkahs and you notice, oh, wow, I guess you are allowed to use vines. You know? So that's going to happen. So that's what the Rabbanan generally would do, is they would say you're not allowed to mix them together because people don't realize what's going on and people are going to start to think that vines are okay even though they're still connected to the ground. So we don't want to start playing games and mixing it together. It's a gzera. Because even though technically that would be good, we're afraid people are not going to do it right, or not going to realize what's going on, people are going to make mistakes, and then people are going to start using vines for stuff that are attached to the ground. And then it's going to actually invalidate the Zikadar Raisa. So maybe we should make a gzera. You're not allowed to mix them together. And that's the finish of the Mishnah. That when we say, that's the Mishnah of Rabbah, that Rabbah's trying to say that you're allowed to mix them together, l'chatchila. We don't make a gzera. So, what is it that I would have thought we should make a gzera? You're not allowed to mix them together because maybe a person will not end up mixing them together or whatever the confusions may be. So it comes to teach us that we don't make such a gzera, and Rav is saying that that's perfectly fine. And Gemara says, no. Hanami Tanina. This also, Tanina. Tanina means we already learned it somewhere else. I don't need you to tell me that. We already know that. How do you know it? From the following. Hidla lesa gefen lesa glas. If a person took vines, gefen is a grapevine, glas is a, squash or one of those types of
gourds,
you know? Gourds, whatever. Melons, those types of things that grow on vines, you know? So he put on top of his sukkah these types of vines. It's a kisum, besichich al gavon, and he put schach on top of them. Psula, pasul, no good. Because the schach pasul is going to invalidate the schach kasher. Vim hayasichich harba, man. But if there was so much schach kasher, there was so much more than the pasul, or he cut off the vines from the ground, shera. Then it'll be kosher. Hey, Chigami, what's the case? If he didn't mix the two types of sach together, so then he's going to end up using sach pasul to give himself enough shade. So that can't be. Elalav, isn't it? Rather, is it not? Kishachavatan, where he did mix them together, and that's the whole point. Is that as long as you mix them all together, so then since the majority is Shachkasher, you're good to go. What's the Chiddush? Ushmamina, and we hear it from here, the Ligazrinan, that we don't make a Gzera, and you're allowed to mix them together. So it's clear from this, what is it, the mission of the Raisa? Where is it? Yiral Hamara. That's the Mishnah, Yiral Hamara. It's clear from the Mishnah that you're allowed to mix it together, and that's not a problem. We don't make a gzera. So what in the world is Rava coming to tell me? So Gra answers, no, the same. I know you thought, honey, you're going to have it. Mishnah is only describing a b'diyavet case when it already happened. About lechachila, though, but maybe you would not be allowed to do it lechachila and mix it together on, you know, as a lechachila. Come ashkelon, that's exactly the chiddush that you're even allowed to do it lechachila. Sort of a slightly different angle in halacha or an area of halacha. Are you allowed to be mevatel something lechachila? What would be a case of being mevatel something lechachila? Some little couple, some scary cases, should we? What's something that if you're mevatel it, it would be okay, but if you're not mevatel it, it's a problem. So a simple case would be, let's say you have, you know, some milk that falls into your chumen. So you said a shishim, right? As long as you have 60 parts chumen, you're good to go, right? Because you can't taste the milk, it's not really there. Yeah? What happens if you don't have enough cholent? That's 60 parts opposite the milk. Add cholent! No problem! Broccoli. Broccoli sometimes is infested with bugs. You're not allowed to eat bugs, despite their protein content. So, what do you do? Nothing, right? You're stuck. You're going to infest the broccoli. You got to throw it in the garbage. No. Put it in the blender. We'll chop up all the bugs. Because isn't it true that after the bugs are chopped up, they're batal? So, you know, there are certain hashgachos that will not give a hashgacha to certain, the items are. But the assumption is there are certain bugs and things that are not being dealt with. But once the process has been processed, then bugs are for sure batal. So are you allowed to give a hashgacha to a company that was mevatel the bugs? Because the principle is, you're not allowed to be mevatel something lechatchila. You're not allowed to add cholent so that the milk will be batel. You're not allowed to just chop up the things so that the bugs will become batel. You're not allowed to do that lechatchila. That's a din. If it's already done, because that's what the company does, and the company produces it, and this is like the ingredient that they produce, so then are you allowed to give it ashkachas? So some ashkachas are willing to, some ashkachas will not. It's interesting. But in any case, they're not doing it for the Jews to be mevatel, you know what I mean? So like, why is that really a problem? They're doing it because they want to make money. So, you know, if the Jews will buy it, that's good, great. If not, okay, whatever. So it's hard to imagine it's really a problem. But in any case. So this Gemara is saying, by schach, we don't have that principle. By schach, that's Rava's whole chiddush. Is that from the other Mishnah, Vidalesa Gefnes at the last, we put the vine on top of the sukkah. So we're dealing with a bidyavid case. If it's already mixed up, so then okay, we'll allow you to use it. But you're allowed to do that lechachila. We have a rule in Kol Terekula, ein mevatel eser lechachila. You're not allowed to be mevatel eser lechachila, yeah? But by sukkah, by schach, apparently we don't have that rule. I don't know why, but it's interesting. Okay, so that's the first part of the Gemara. And then the Gemara says, sukkah gabi sukkah. You can't have a sukkah on top of another sukkah. We said the upper one is fine, but the lower one is no good. Tana Rabban. The sukkah teishu. Shiva Samim, right? We said you have to live in a sukkah for 7 days. V'loi v'sukkah shetam is a sukkah. You have to be in a sukkah. Sukkah means one sukkah. Not a sukkah that's under another sukkah. So that's how you know, right? The Gemara without asking a question. You're asking, how do you know that you can't have a sukkah under another sukkah? The Gemara answers, well, it says you have to live in a sukkah, not two sukkahs. The Gemara says, are you sure about that? Tanya Rabbanan, sukkah seishu, v'lobe sukkah shetakas a sukkah, v'lobe sukkah shetakas a ilah, v'lobe sukkah shetakas a sukkah bayis. Not a sukkah under a tree, not a sukkah that's in a house. Says the Gemara question, asks the Gemara, Adarabba. How do you translate Adarabba?
On the contrary.
It's the contrary. But Sukkos Teshvu. You're supposed to live in Sukkos. Right? Sukkos sounds like more than one. Tarti mashma. The implication is you're supposed to live in multiple Sukkos. Two Sukkos. That sounds like you should have a Sukkah on your Sukkah, no? That's a crazy idea. So Gemara says, how do you say from here otherwise? I'm Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. The sukkos ksiv without a vav, the sukkas. That Rav Yitzchak says, if you take a look at the way that the letters are written, not the way it's pronounced, the way it's written, it's actually written as if it means one sukkah, it's as if it's not a plural. So that seems to satisfy the Gemara. The Gemara says, okay, so that's how you know that you can't have a sukkah under a tree, you can't have a sukkah under another sukkah, you can't have a sukkah inside of a house, because it has to be in one sukkah, not multiples, so that they have to be in a sukkah. Omer Yirmiyah. Pa'amim shishtein cheres, pa'amim shishtein psulas, pa'amim shaltonu cher, le'alionu psula, pa'amim shaltonu psula, le'alionu cher. Yirmiyah says, sometimes, shtein cheres, they could both be kasher. Wow. Pa'amim, sometimes, there are times, shishtein psulas, will they both be puzzled? How is that possible? Pa'amim shaltonu cher, le'alionu psula, sometimes the lower one will be kasher, and the upper one will be pasul. And pa'amim, there are times where the tachtonu will be psula, where the bottom one will be pasul, the yonik shera, the upper one will be kasher, which of course is the case described in our Mishnah. So just to start going through them, so Gemara says, pa'amim shishtein cheros, sometimes both of them will be kasher, reikidami, what's similar to what's the case? Kagoyim, for example, shetachtonu chamasim yiru metzilasa, the bottom one, the schach is shvach. It's more sunlight than shade. Well, yona, tzilusimir mechamasa, and the upper one has more shade than sun. The kamal yona is of esrim, and the upper one is within 20 amos of the ground. So then what's the din? Shtehen ksheiros. Why? Who can explain that? Pick this up tomorrow.
It's possible. How could the upper one have more shade than the sun and the bottom one have more sun than shade?
What?
I'm asking.
If you would eliminate the upper one, so then the bottom one would allow more sunlight than shade. Which means that ultimately the schach for both the upper one and the lower one is really coming from the upper one.
So is the bottom one not kosher?
It's kosher because as long as the schach that's on top of it is the only schach, so there's really being schach for the top and the bottom. Apparently, there's enough footing on the ceiling of the bottom sukkah that someone can sit there. So it allows there to be a top sukkah, but at the end of the day, there's really one layer of schach for the top and the bottom. So it's not really a lower sukkah at all. Interestingly enough, right? It's really like the double-decker one sukkah. That's the difference. Had it been really a sukkah, gabi sukkah, we said you're not allowed to do that. So by the bottom sukkah having such little schach, it basically means that there's just a second like level. So but the, so there's really only one layer of schach with the top and the bottom. So you can have such a sukkah. That's case number one. That's stand chairs. Pa'amim shishtein psulas. You can both be puzzled. Both be puzzled. How can they both be puzzled? The top one should always be good, no? If you got me, it's the case. You got me, for example, the tarvaya tzulas and ilachamasan. Both of them, the shade is more than the sun. So that's why the bottom one is puzzled, because it's got a sukkah on top of it. Why is the top one puzzled? The kaimel yoyna, the malam yasir mama. And the top one is higher than 20 amos. Higher than 20 amos from where?
From the top of the first.
From the floor of the upper one, right? In other words, if you're in the upper sukkah, technically the sukkah is fine, but it's too high. So it's sort of like, you know, a technical problem. Sometimes the bottom one will be kasher and the top one will be pasul. Wait, why should that ever be? Hey, if you got me, what's the case? The bottom of Selassim Ruchamasa has its own independent schach, where the shade is more than the sun. The Yoina Chamasim Ruchamitzelassa. And the top one doesn't have enough schach. The sunlight's more than the shade, so no good. So it doesn't pass to the bottom one because it's not a sukkah. And it's no good on the top one because it's not a sukkah. So the Kamika by the Sukkah Nesrim. And both of them are within 20 amas. Upamim shall yoinachir with the Chanab Sula, and sometimes the upper one will be kasher, and the top one will be pasol. Hechigami, that's the case. He went to Tarvayat, so lessen the Chamasan. Both of them, the shade is more than the sun. Rekamel yoinachir with the Chanab Sula, and the upper one is still within 20, so the upper Sukkah is kasher, but the bottom Sukkah would be pasol. That you know, that's the basic case that we saw in the Mishnah. Okay, take a couple minutes breather, and we'll learn a little bit of halacha for the last few minutes.